Our sermon scripture is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. The setting is about 740 BC, and God's chosen people were not following his way. Isaiah is being called to be a prophet to Judah, delivering a difficult message that the people who believed they were blessed by God were actually going to be destroyed because of their disobedience. Isaiah 6, 1 through 10. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." This is God's holy word.
Please rise as we sing "Follow the Path of Jesus." Words and music can be found on page 7 in your bulletin.
Following my knee surgery in early August, after worshiping by live stream the following four Sundays, it was a blessing to be present on September 7th when Eric Wagler shared the message at both services. The title of Eric's message was "Ready, Set, Go." Anybody that was there, do you remember what passage of scripture he spoke from? he spoke about the parable of the talents. Now you'll shake your head. The parable of the talents, a parable that Jesus offers, talking about the faithfulness of the people. And I had intended just to be here for 8 o'clock service in Sunday school and then to go home, but I felt led to stay for the 10:30 service as well and listen to Eric share a second time. Part of his message on the 7th was he was sharing how successful his music career was out in Los Angeles, California. Things were going well for him. He and his wife were involved in a church. But then on some of his trips, some of his journeys, he would find himself alone in a hotel room, and he realized that he really wasn't as happy as what he had thought or what he hoped to have been. And he came to understand through some soul searching that his career had become number one in his life, and God had kind of fallen to the wayside, even maybe, quote, being put on the shelf. Eric spoke how he was doing what he wanted to do, but he kind of forgot what maybe God wanted him to be doing in life. I don't know if Eric's testimony about that struck anyone else that heard him that day, but I know it struck me. Shortly after Lynn and I got married, 9 months afterwards, in fact, we left St. John's and we went down to the camps where we spent a number of years. And as I got involved more with camp leadership, you know, there were a couple of promotions. With each promotion, there was more responsibility. And I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do in life. My supervisor confided in me that they were hoping to groom me to be taking his place someday, where I would be over all of outdoor ministries in Ohio for the United Church of Christ. And I was good, and I thought I was happy. But yet, kind of like Eric Wagler, my job was kind of first. I mean, I worked at a church camp. I mean, it had to be involved with faith. But personally, I think I had God on a shelf. After a number of years, things began to change, and I started asking questions, and maybe I asked the wrong question of the wrong people. And thus I experienced a spiritual awakening and perceived that I was being called by God to become a pastor. And here I have been at St. John since 1996. As I was listening to Eric share, my life kind of started to make sense a little bit more of where God had been leading me. And I liked the parable of the talents, but I felt led to speak this morning about Ready, Set, Go, from the aspect of Isaiah 6, because Isaiah 6 was one of the passages that some good friends lifted up to me in that time when I was trying to perceive what God wanted me to do in my life. And so we've heard Isaiah 6 read. Maybe it's familiar to some of you, maybe it's new to some of you, but kind of like a summary. Here you can listen to the summary and skip the rest of what I'm about to say. Not really. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, so I know the Spirit will touch your heart. But Isaiah witnesses the holiness of God, the power and the authority of God. And because he has seen the glory of God, he is very aware of his humanness, of his own sinfulness. And then there's this challenge about being sent. And it was because of the Lord's grace, of that coal touching his lips and the sin being taken away, in the Lord's call, Isaiah found himself able to respond. He had a willingness to respond. Here am I, send me. That's a summary of what we're going to be looking at from Isaiah chapter 6. The situation and the setting. King Uzziah, in the year of King Uzziah's death. King Uzziah was king from about the age of 16 to about the age of 52. And you can read about that in 2 Chronicles 18 and 26, I believe. And he reigned in those 52 years. And for most of his reign, he was described as a man of God. He did what was right in the eyes of God. Picture that. God's looking over us. God is watching over us. And he's thinking about how well we've done. Well, King Uzziah did right, until there came a time when he entered into the temple where he wasn't supposed to go. And because of his sin, there was judgment from the Lord, and King Uzziah was struck with leprosy, and he lived with leprosy the rest of his life. In that situation, Isaiah could have been mourning the death or mourning the good reign of Uzziah. In all that situation, he could have been wondering where the Lord was. Where was God in all of this situation? And in the revelation of his vision, where's the Lord? The Lord is sitting on the throne in heaven. That's where God is. That's where his power and his glory and his authority for the entire universe comes from. God was not absent when King Uzziah was reigning. God was not absent when he walked into the temple, where he was going where he shouldn't have gone. The Lord was sitting on the throne. And the Lord is still sitting on the throne. He is the sovereign ruler over the entire universe. And Isaiah offers a little description about God's glory and might. The train of his robe filled the temple. Evidently, in the day, if you were a king, your power and your presence was symbolized how long the train of your robe was. The longer the train, it means you had more servants to take care of that. Because they didn't just walk around on those dirty roads, they had people holding up that train so it wouldn't get dirty. And as you wore the king and wore that train, you were telling everybody how great you were, that you didn't have to be one of those servants, you didn't have to do that work. God knows what they're thinking, and his train filled the entire temple. The authority, the glory, the power of God is far above anything any human can imagine. And in this, we read about the seraphs. Seraphs are angels. Seraphs means burning ones. Thus that tongue to the coal, burning ones. And the seraphs were flying around. And Isaiah offers a short description. They had six wings. Two were covering their eyes. These were angelic beings. And God's glory was so bright, the angels couldn't even gaze upon it. And God's glory is so powerful that they were unworthy to look upon God's glory. And so the wings covered their eyes. And two wings covered their feet in a sign of humility. They wanted to hide the unpresentable part of their body before the Lord. Because the Lord is so pure, they didn't want anything sinful or human to take away from God's glory. And then there were those two wings that allowed them to fly around in God's presence. And as they flew around, they sang and they worshiped the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Why three holies? Why repetition? Holy, holy, holy. Said three times. Many believe that speaks to the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Hebrew way of teaching is to repeat. To repeat. So when we sing hymns and songs that repeat, when we repeat scriptures, that repetition is so that that word settles into our mind. And when we're walking the byways of life, we can recall. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. God's glory is all around us. All around us. Now, when we moved back to Archbold in 1996, I did not buy a house thinking about God's glory. I just bought a house that was available that we could afford. And yet, coming to the church, every time I leave the home to come to church in the morning, Sundays I come a little too early and it's dark out, but I get to see the sun rising in the eastern sky. The glory of God is there. It's always powerful. I always have to put down my visor going on to 66 because it's so bright. You see the beauty of the sunsets. You see the wonder of the ocean waves. You see the majesty of the mountains. God's universe, his power is all around us, and we are to worship him. Their words, Their singing was so loud, so powerful in their worship of God that Isaiah pictured standing in the doorway. The doorposts were shaking because of the power and the glory of the seraphs' worship of the Lord. And the house was filled with smoke, reminding us of the pillar of cloud that represented the presence of God back in the time of Exodus. And there's Isaiah. He's struck that the angelic beings cannot even be in the presence of God. Who am I? Who am I to look at this? A man of unclean lips. Who am I? And we can be asking that question of us. Who am I that God loves us? Who am I that God created us? Always remember, you are a child of God, dearly loved by that God. In those moments, Isaiah became aware of his sinfulness. I am a man of unclean lips. Now, that was not the only sin that Isaiah was dealing with probably in his life, just like our sin. But in the moment, it was about his sinfulness of unclean lips. And those seraphs, the two wings that allowed them to fly around, they allowed them to obey the command of God. They were pleased to serve the Lord, and as they flew around, one of those seraphs ministered to Isaiah. The seraph took the tongs and picked up that live coal and placed it against Isaiah's lips. And his lips were clean. This is a spiritual reality for Isaiah. There is no mention of that live coal causing any pain to the lips of Isaiah. That coal just cleansed his lips, cleansed his speech. And Isaiah was being prepared to respond. Because God had in mind that he wanted to send someone to share his word with his people. And here, the coal prepared Isaiah to go. I'm sure Isaiah was there, and he had no thought of becoming a servant of God, becoming a prophet of God. But in this spiritual reality, this spiritual experience, as God is asking, who will go for us? We know the prophecy of Isaiah. Here am I, send me. Have you had such a spiritual experience in your life? Eric Wagler shared his, I'm sharing part of mine. We're not the only ones. That kind of spiritual experience is open to all of us. It doesn't have to be as grandiose as seeing seraphs flying around. It can be in the quietness, in the loneliness, by yourself, in a time of prayer. Praying for God's forgiveness. Praying for God's restoration and His redemption. That we can be sent. We can be sent. I am very thankful for all the people of this congregation over the years who have been sent, who have been involved in the ministry of the church. And I'm not talking about teaching and leading. I'm just talking about ordinary, everyday people, if there is such a thing. Because if you think you're ordinary, you're not. You're a child of God, blessed by God, to do good things for Him, just like Isaiah. And whether you've had that call now, my call didn't really come until I was 34 or 35. So if you're younger than that, patience. If you're older than that, you know, we just go and keep serving. How do we serve? We pray. We teach. We clean. We feed. We offer hope. We encourage. We witness. We share our faith. Numerous ways. Because God continues to look for people to be sent. Some around the world, some right here at home. In your neighborhood, in your family, in your group of connections. Know that God loves you. God wants you to be one of His servants. May it be so. Amen.
Hear the words of the Lord found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. I invite the ushers forward to receive our morning offerings and blanket Sunday contributions. Let's pray. O Lord, with these offerings we are professing, we will follow you. We may not always be sure where you are leading us, but we believe in you, and we are thankful for how you have blessed us. We trust in your future. In Christ we pray. Amen.
We'll close our service this morning singing, "Here I Am, Lord," and following the spoken benediction, we'll sing the chorus. By the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make the darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you.
Always know and remember that as you go, the mighty power of God goes with you. Depart in His peace. Amen.